This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. You may have played one of those video games where you rumble over a pile of rocks, you smash into a tree, and the controller shakes and buzzes to give you that feeling of a crash. Well, that 3D touch sensation is called haptics. That video game controller was haptics 1.0. Haptics are showing up in smart devices, too. You know that little tap notification you get from your smartwatch? Well, that's a haptic. And scientists are working on haptics for surgery, prosthetics, and all sorts of possibilities. How do you digitize the feeling of touch? What could it be used for? Let me introduce my next guest. Catherine Kuchenbecker is director of the Max Planck Institute for Intelligent Systems in Stuttgart, Germany. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks so much. Happy to be here.
We won't be taking your calls this hour, but we'd like to hear from you on Twitter, if you like, at SciFry, and talk to one another about what we're talking about. I know you've worked on a project where you created palettes of textures. So instead of picking a paint color, you can pick a texture that feels like cotton or wood. Tell us about that. What are you measuring to create textures? Is it all vibrations?
Great question. So the goal of that project was to be able to record how surfaces feel to cut touch with the same accuracy that we can capture them with a camera. So we actually call it haptography, haptic photography. And we do record vibrations, but also other signals that your body can feel and that we can sense with engineering sensors. So imagine you take a tool and you drag it back and forth over a piece of leather or say a rough piece of stone. You can feel the tip of the tool bounce across the little bumps on the surface or be dragged. It might be more difficult to move across the leather. And also you can feel how hard or soft a surface is. And so we created a little tool that we call a haptic camera, a touch-based camera that can record all those sensations. And then we do a bunch of math and make a model so that then when you go touch a virtual version of that piece of leather or that stone, we can create sensations that make it feel almost as though you're touching the real thing.
So when I do the touching, am I touching a trackpad? What am I touching?
Well, we have a bunch of different instantiations. The first one we worked on was a Wacom tablet computer. So it's like an iPad, but with a stylus in your hand. So you can touch different places on the screen, and we could put a picture of, say, the stone on the right and the leather on the left. And then as you drag the stylus across the picture, you would feel like the tip was going over the stone or the leather, even though it's really just going over a glass. And the way we do that is we have a little motor. It's kind of like a speaker, but it plays vibrations for your fingers, and it would vibrate the tip of the tool back and forth, depending on how fast you move or how hard you push, in a very similar way to how a real tool would feel. And that was kind of the first version, 1.0, as you might say, of this haptography system. And 2.0 was using a more sophisticated haptic device where you can move in three dimensions, going closer to like virtual reality. So you can move the tool around in 3D space and feel, oh, here's like a sphere or a cube or a big statue. And we could portray these sensations, the vibrations, and also how hard it is to move along it. You could tap on it and feel, oh, this stone is really hard and the leather or foam is really soft. And you could feel all those things together with an image of the virtual object.
So is that really one of your goals, to use this in a virtual reality environment?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the major goals. You've probably heard that VR is on the rise and pretty exciting. Lots of people see ways for it to be used, say, for medical training or online shopping or, of course, gaming as well. And we believe that the more realistic sensations we can bring in to such virtual environments, the more believable they'll be. I mean, life is a lot more than just what you see and what you hear. You can't do anything in the real world without reaching out and touching something, and you should be able to feel it.
You mentioned using it in medicine and surgery. How would you do that? What kind of uses could you make?
Yeah, so certainly one big opportunity is to improve the kind of video games that doctors train on. There's a big movement in medicine right now to help, say, surgeons or dentists or other medical practitioners practice on a realistic computer simulator before they try out, say, suturing or drilling a cavity on a real human. There are a lot of ethical reasons, and even for the doctor themselves, they'd like to practice and know they're good at something before they do it on a person. And so improving the quality of what you feel in a lot of these simulators, sometimes those simulators are just like a fake plastic tooth, and sometimes they're computer-based, like a sophisticated computer game. And so we work on improving what the surgeon or the dentist, the doctor would feel. So that's kind of the first simulation. The second one, we also work in my research lab a lot on robotic surgery. And now here, there's no virtual world. There's a surgeon controlling a robot across the room to do surgery in deep inside a human patient. So the company that has made robots like this is called Intuitive. They make a Da Vinci robot, and they get used all around the world every day to let doctors operate deep inside a patient. But that commercial FDA-approved version has absolutely no touch feedback, so the doctor can't feel anything of what they're doing.
So is there a practical version using haptics on the horizon?
Yeah, so that's another big topic my research group worked on when I was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia for the last 10 years. We invented, basically taking what I described before, the haptography idea, where we record all the sensations and then model them. Instead of modeling them, you can just transmit them immediately, sort of like a microphone and a speaker, where we measure what the tools are feeling and play it for the surgeon's hands right away. And so their right hand can feel what the sensors on the right tool are feeling, and their left hand can feel what the tool sensors on the left hand or what the left tool are feeling. And there are many, many different kinds of things we could measure. And surgical instruments are already pretty complicated and expensive. And so the trick for this project was to figure out which of those signals that we could measure, which of the touch-based cues would have the most bang for your buck, the most benefit. And for this, we really focused in on vibrations. They hadn't been studied very much before. Most people thought about forces. If I'm pushing on the tissue, how hard is it pushing back? But you can actually kind of see that with your eyes because tissue deforms. And so instead, we looked at the higher frequencies, things more like the sounds, the tools hitting each other or cutting tissue or colliding with something outside the view, or that we can measure those signals quite easily with tiny sensors that just sit up on the robot arms, and then we can play them for the surgeon's hands to feel using very similar motors to what we put on the original texture pad, that stylus on a tablet computer.
You know, I would think a great place for this would be in the invention, the development of self-driving cars or car steering wheels or something, where, you know, you'd feel a vibration if some car was coming up next to you or behind you and maybe wake you up even if you were going to sleep.
Absolutely. Haptics is a great way to get a driver or user's attention because it's private and it's salient. You can feel it easily when it's designed well. And so there are lots of researchers and car companies too are really interested in using this. And even it does exist, in lane keeping, sort of help you stay in your lane. A lot of modern cars are what's called drive-by-wire, meaning there's no physical connection between your steering wheel and the tires. And so it's kind of like that remote control surgery that I was talking about. A computer and some motors have to do their to connect what you feel on the steering wheel to what's happening at the wheels. And you want it to be not just that the wheels go where you point them, but that you can feel it if you start bumping into the curb or maybe the automatic lane keeping assistants could share control of the car with you and kind of communicate with you through the steering wheel, almost like a driving teacher holding a second steering wheel on the other side of the car, perhaps. Did you want to hear about how we hack the vibrations to make them work even a little better?
Oh, now you have my attention. Absolutely. We like to get into the weeds on this program.
It's just a little, it was a nice side story because when we record, say, what a tool feels as it drags across, say, that piece of stone, the tool is actually shaking in all directions, left and right, up and down, in and out. So we can put a 3-axis accelerometer vibration sensor on there and measure all of those vibrations. And your hand holding the tool can feel all of them. But really interesting, you can't feel which way it's vibrating. At higher frequencies, like above 20 cycles back and forth in a second, you don't have a sense of the direction. You're kind of direction blind. You can only feel the fact that it's vibrating. And then let's say we're trying to let the surgeon feel what their scissors are doing inside the patient. You could, of course, have 3 motors and output the up, down, left, right, and in-out vibrations. But that's heavy and complicated and costly. And so we came up with an algorithm to take the 3 axes of vibrations and turn them into just 1, because your fingers can't feel which direction the vibrations are happening in. So if we do the algorithm right, we can basically find a loophole in the sense of touch and take advantage of it to engineer better, more cost-effective, simpler systems.
Do you think that this kind of stuff is underappreciated?
I certainly think the sense of touch is underappreciated. We as humans are really used to being able to feel what it's like to move our bodies around and the responses we feel. But you know better what it's like to close your eyes or be in a dark room or be in a situation where maybe you can't hear. Your sense of touch is always there. And so we often take it for granted. As a researcher, I also work on giving robots a good sense of touch. So autonomous robots, helping them, say, pick up objects so they can put them away in the dishwasher or hand something to a human in a safe and like really reliable way. And when you try to program robots to do tasks like that, you really start to see how important the physical contact haptic signals are for coordinating these movements in the real world. Interpersonal connections are really powerful. That's actually a very common request. People who've had an amputated upper limb, like let's say they've lost their hand, it's not just that they want to be able to pick up their coffee. They would really love to be able to hold hands with their loved ones. And so that the emotional side of touch and physical contact between people is really important. We have been working on hugging robots in my lab recently and trying to make a robot that delivers really good hugs.
Wow. You know, you're right. That is a very emotional and would be a very useful thing to have over the miles.
It's something we're looking into, and give me a few more years and I'll have a PhD student and maybe we'll see if it might have some true benefits. Could it really uplift your mood or help figure out how you're feeling or help people stay in touch long distances? That's some of the things we're thinking about.
All right. We'll have you back in a couple of years, okay? Write it down.
I'd enjoy that. Thanks so much.
Catherine Kuchenbecker is director of the Max Planck Institute for Intelligent Systems in Stuttgart. Thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
My pleasure.